So the translation of Srila Prabhupada is like, O King Maharaj Parikshit, but for the Lord's personal desire, there is no cause for his appearance, disappearance, or activities. As the Super Soul, he knows everything. Consequently, there is no cause that affects him, not even the results of fruitive activities. Please repeat. O King, Maharaj Parikshit, but for the Lord's personal desire, there is no cause for his appearance, disappearance, or activities. As the Super Soul, he knows everything. Consequently, there is no cause that affects him, not even the results of fruitive activities. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This verse points out the difference between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and an ordinary living being. An ordinary living being receives a particular type of body according to his past activities. Karmana dhaiva netrina jantu dehopapatyaye. A living being is never independent and can never appear independently. Rather, one is forced to accept a body imposed upon him by Maya according to his past karma. As explained in Bhagavad Gita 18.61, Yantra Rudhani Mayaya. The body is a kind of machine created and offered to the living being by the material energy under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the living entity must accept a particular type of body awarded to him by Maya. The material energy according to his karma. One cannot independently say, give me a body like this, or give me a body like that. One must accept whatever body is offered by the material energy. This is the position of the ordinary living being. When Krishna descends, however, he does so out of his merciful compassion for the fallen souls. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 4.8, Paritranaya sadunam vinashaya jaduskritam dharma sansthaparnataya sambhavami yuge yuge. To deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to reestablish the principles of religion, I advent myself millennium after millennium. The Supreme Lord is not forced to appear. Indeed, no one can subject him to force, for he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everyone is under his control, and he is not under the control of anyone else. Foolish people who, because of poor fund of knowledge, think that one can equal Krishna or become Krishna are condemned in every way. No one can equal or surpass Krishna, who is therefore described as asamurdva. According to the Vishaya Kosha dictionary, the word Maya is used in the sense of false pride and also in the sense of compassion. For an ordinary living being, the body in which he appears is his punishment. As the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, Daivihi esha gunamai mamma maya durataya. This divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But when Krishna comes, the word Maya refers to his compassion or mercy upon devotees or fallen soul. By his potency, the Lord can deliver everyone, whether sinful or pious. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. O King, Maharaj Parikshit, but for the Lord's personal desire, there is no cause for his appearance, disappearance, or activities. As the Super Soul, he knows everything. Consequently, there is no cause that affects him, not even the results of fruitive activities. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Anmiritan Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Yevacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So first of all, good morning. Thank you very much for this opportunity. I'm just a simple student of Krishna consciousness. And I'll try to share whatever humble realizations I might have gathered on the road. For me, it's a great privilege to be here. This temple represents for me the very beginning inspiration of my spiritual life. The first sound vibration which I heard was the recording done by the early devotees of this temple and George Harrison. And that created a great impact on me. And I always dreamed to be one day in the manor. I never thought it would be giving class. And I just learned this yesterday by 9 p.m. So you won't have the best of me, but I'll do the best I can. This verse is a very important verse. And it's located in a place in the Srimad Bhagavatam, where Krishna is being defined in his position. And this is very important because we, the living entities, as Tatastha Shakti, the marginal energy of the Lord, can take shelter either of his superior energy and of his inferior energy. And indeed, we can take shelter of both simultaneously. It's quite confusing that. How can an energy take shelter of two at the same time? But the living entity has that power. So much so that in the beginning life, or at least in my beginning life, when I was listening to this Govindam Adipurusham and all these mantras so beautifully done, I was still quite engrossed in material life. I had some anarchist dreams and some all these dreams that the youth usually gives the right or the opportunity to take. And at the same time, I was so enamored by this beautiful sound vibration. So I could experience within me a very peculiar reality where on one hand, I was so attracted to the Lord and to this music, which I didn't even understand fully what it was. Even though I had lived in India for 2 years during my father's studies, he came to England, to Pembroke, to do his PhD in agriculture, and then he took us to India for the practical part of his work. So I was familiar with India and Gandhi and yoga and all of this. But yet, this mantra seemed to be beyond all that. And it just captivated my mind to a degree I couldn't understand, I couldn't explain, but it was there. But simultaneously, there was this wild desires to conquer and enjoy the world. And there it was. Later I discovered this is because I am, like everyone else, Tatastha Shakti. We can take shelter of both energy, even simultaneously. It's not advisable. It's better that you shift quickly to the higher energy. Because as the verse says, the material energy is very hard to overcome. Daiva Maya. So Srila Prabhupada used to say, for Krishna, it's not important, superior or inferior, because for him, everything is his energy. So there's no problem. But for us, it's very important to make a differentiation. what is spiritual and what is material. Actually, we can only advance in spiritual life if we make a distinction between what's material and what is spiritual. And here I give you a little example which I had. I was in my brother's house. I'm carried around by Shalagram, Srila, and Govardhan. They take me wherever they want, and I just follow, serving them. And I happened to be in my brother's house, and there I needed a fruit to offer to them in the morning. So there was a little, in Brazil we have many bananas, there was a little banana, a dozen bananas on a bunch. And I woke up early, and so did my sister-in-law. She's an architect, so she works early hours. And we went to the same banana bunch. She went to take a banana to have some energy to work. And I went to the banana bunch to take a banana for Krishna. So I tried to get before her the banana for Krishna. But I was amazed. We were exactly in the same place. We were looking at the same substance, a banana. And one was for to gratify her senses, and the other was to gratify the senses of the Lord. And so I had a realization. It's not the energy, it's what we think about the energy. It's how we deal with the energy. That is the difference. And that is why this is such a difficult point. Because Prabhupada, again and again, he stresses, someone may look at a devotee and say, but he does the same thing, the same activities that anyone else does. He goes to work, he plants, he takes care of the cows just like the neighbors. So what is the difference? And the difference is because the devotee, he is fully convinced that his actions is to please the senses of the Lord. While the neighbor is fully convinced that he's taking care of the cows to get some money to gratify his senses. That is the difference. So for the jiva, it is extremely difficult to make a distinction or a clear distinction, as I mentioned, even within yourself, what to say within the outer world. This is the difference between us and Krishna. He knows everything in everyone's heart. I just know barely what's happening in my heart. Now, a simple question, how long does the class last? 8:30, so I'll have half an hour, and let's say 25 minutes, 5 for questions. Yeah, usually it's like that. Okay. I know, but so I just meant 8:25 and 5 for questions. Okay. Thank you. So here, the verse is defining that there is no cause for the appearance of Krishna. Now there's a philosopher who defined that just like a war, if you're fighting war, you can go back. You can go back. You can go back. But at a certain point, you have to stop and fight. Otherwise, it's not a war. It's simply a retreat. It's simply a runaway. Like Napoleon did in Russia. He tried to invade. At a certain point, they had to retreat. But at a certain moment, they had to fight. So when you come to that point where you have to fight, you came to Krishna. Because that's the cause which is self-evident. So Krishna is here being defined as self-evident. And this verse is telling that Krishna does not come here because he has to. He comes here out of compassion for the fallen souls. And this is very natural because for Krishna, he has nothing to do with the material energy. Actually, when the jivas are manifested from him to expand his pleasure, some of us didn't pay attention to Krishna. We just look at the environment. What a beautiful tree. Looking at that Sadbhuja form. We miss the Sadbhuja. We say, what a beautiful river. Wow. What could I do in that river? And we miss Krishna. So we just came slowly down until we came as Brahma, and here we are. We missed Brahma. We missed the Prajapatis. So 8,400,000 forms of life is there for us to understand why we didn't look at Krishna. And then because of that incident, the Lord, being very merciful, he glances at his energy. He glances Ramadevi. And when he glances, there is a transformation. And through his glance, which is Sadashiva, here comes the Jiva, time and Ahankara. And when this glance touches Pradhan, it impregnates Pradhan. And then it becomes Mahatattva. And then in the Mahat, all the three modes starts to be generated, and from that, all the different living entities which are here. So this is how we came here, because we made that simple distraction. We didn't look at the Lord and start immediately to glorify Him, which is the natural position of our heart. That's what our heart does. It loves Krishna. But for a moment we got distracted, and here we are. Now, Krishna, on the other hand, he never gets distracted, because he is the originator of this creation. So, for him, it's only a question of interaction with his devotees. And here you may pose a question, so what does God do? For many religions in the West, God is sitting on a throne, just throwing some, he has a long beard, and he's throwing thunderbolts on whoever goes off the line. That image does not match Krishna. What does Krishna do? If you think about, he does only one thing. He loves his devotees. Every day, he loves his devotees. He is in the fields with the cowherd boys, and then he is with his mother for lunch, and then he has a little runaway with the gopis, and then he goes back to the cowherd boys, and in the evening he is with the gopis, and then he's running to Mother Yashoda's house. This is Krishna. He's always loving his devotees. He doesn't do anything else. That's his occupational duty, to love his devotees. And then here, it is said that Prabhupada says here that by his compassion, he comes here. So this year is a very important year, because we are celebrating the 50th anniversary of our ISKCON. And 50 years back, if you think about when Prabhupada, he stepped in Boston, in that port, he was meditating on us right now. He was imagining that one day all of his society would be big, the temple would be very great, and then all these devotees would be together listening to Srimad Bhagavatam. But at that moment, he had nothing. He had only his transcendental vision. He had a trunk of books, the desire and the instruction of his spiritual master, and that was it. So on that day, 18th of September, 1965, at Boston Harbor, he composed a poem which shows the nature of the spiritual master. And he said, "My dear Lord Krishna, you're so kind upon this useless soul, but I do not know why you have brought me here. Now, you can do whatever you like with me." So Prabhupada was wondering, what had Krishna done? Why had he taken him there? And then he goes on, "But I guess you have some business here. Otherwise, why would you bring me to this terrible place?" So here Prabhupada is saying that he knows that whatever Krishna wants is bound to happen. So he is understanding what is the Lord's desire. I guess you have some business here, because otherwise why would you have brought me here? And then he says, most of the population here, and Prabhupada is very kind, he puts the word most, covered by the material modes of ignorance and passion, absorbed in material life, they think themselves very happy and satisfied, and therefore they have no taste for the transcendental message of Vasudeva. I do not know how they will be able to understand it. Then he goes on, but I know your causeless mercy can make everything possible because you are the most expert mystic. So you see, this poem is so simple, at the same time so profound. Prabhupada is revealing the Vedanta to its highest level. He's saying, you are this mystic, expert mystic. Because it is a mystery, how can God, the person who is the most powerful, be under the desires of his subordinate devotees? How is it possible that this such a powerful person is there? And the answer is what we have been just discussing, because Krishna loves his devotees. So Krishna's pastime is to put himself under the desire of his devotees. And here Srila Prabhupada is saying, all living entities have become under the control of the illusory energy by your will. And therefore, if you like, by your will, they can also be released from the clutches of illusion. So as we discussed in the beginning, because we decided to look outside of Krishna, he gave that mercy for us to be here in the material world. And here we are. And he's also saying, also by your will, if you desire, they can be liberated. And then the next verse reveals the compassion of the spiritual master, because he says, I wish that you deliver them. Therefore, if you so desire their deliverance, then only will they be able to understand your message. So here, the Krishna himself is under the desire of his devotees. Like the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna is there and Krishna is satisfying him. So here, the pure devotee is asking on our behalf. So that is the importance of that moment. It's because Prabhupada desired, this is here today. Because he desired, this temple is here today. Because he desired, his three disciples, the six devotees, three couples, came from Montreal to England, and then you have everything you have today. Two sannyasis of Gaudiya Math tried to satisfy the mission of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, because he thought, if London, which was the center of everything in the world at that time, the conquerors of the world, the colonizers, could be convinced of this message, everybody would do so. So he sent his best sannyasis at a stage of $5,000 support to stay here. And after a few years, 2 years, I think, they came back and concluded, your divine grace, it's useless. They'll never become devotees. And three couples, just starting their spiritual life, coming from a background which was not pious as many of yours around here, I can see you coming down from very pious families in the Indian background. But they had firm faith in the spiritual master. And they experienced extreme difficulties until Krishna revealed a way out, and they met George Harrison, and through that connection, so much has expanded, including this property. So, by the desire of the spiritual master, everything is happening, and Prabhupada was never taking credit himself. He was saying, all of this is only here due to the mercy of my spiritual master. And remember, Prabhupada was in Vrindavan. Today, every group must have an office in Vrindavan. If you go to Vrindavan nowadays, all the gurus, they have an office. Like, it's the Wall Street of the spiritualists. It's Vrindavan. Everybody has an office there. And Prabhupada was there when it was not Wall Street. It's just Vrindavan. And then in that moment, he decided to come. He was making his bhajan, and his bhajan was, I have to go to the West and preach. Because he felt he was unworthy to be in Vrindavan without fulfilling the mission of his spiritual master. How could he be in Vrindavan? That's how he thought. If his spiritual master asked him to come and preach. So that was Srila Prabhupada. So he came to this place for us. And he had great expectation, all of us. He expected that we would live to that action that he did. And he wanted all of us to do something great in our lives. And by great, I don't mean grandiose. I mean great can be you decide yourself, confirm. To make your sadhana great, you decide yourself to help devotees around you. You decide yourself to be a genuine representative of Srila Prabhupada. This is great. Small is beautiful. We tend to think big is beautiful, but small is beautiful. Many beautiful small things make a great big thing. So, there is a verse which Prabhupada quotes in this poem, which is Shravatam, Shrimvatam Sakata Krishna, and he goes on. And then I'll just read a little part because time is crushing on us. And he says, the poem, this verse of Bhagavatam is very long. It says, desire and hankering disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness. Srila Prabhupada was very particular that all of us should be established in goodness. So when he came here to this property, he said, we should have 150 cows and be self-sufficient. That as early as the 70s, Srila Prabhupada could see that the world would go in a trend which would not be sustainable. Just for you to have an idea, Jai Shri Radha Gokula Nanda Ji Ki. So why did Prabhupada mention 150 cows and self-sufficiency here? You may be wondering. Why? You see, Ireland, your neighbor, has 80% of its agricultural grounds dedicated to the dairy and beef industry for export. The crisis is evident. They feel the crisis today. If you go to Belfast, every taxi driver is talking about the crisis. The idea is we'll produce, we get money, and we buy everything. But maybe things can change. So Prabhupada wanted to give an example to the continent that if you're self-sufficient, even if the continent closes down, you don't. That was his mission. And if you can show it on a small scale, then it can be replicated in a bigger scale. So Prabhupada is very particular about this. He wanted us to be self-sufficient because he wanted us not to depend on the main grid. And it's a challenge because all of the world is going to the city center, to the shopping centers, and to the big cars. And when you think of bullet cars, you think it's going to take 5 days, it's not worth it, it's such a hassle, why should I do this? But actually, this is mode of goodness. We need to establish the mode of goodness. Mode of goodness, as soon as you go in the field, you can experience something happens inside of you which you become quiet, you become tranquil, because the mode of goodness is present if you are there to take it. So Prabhupada wanted us to be in the mode of goodness. Actually, in his last words, when he's passing away in Vrindavan, he's saying to establish Vanashram Dharma, and establish the mode of goodness. And this year in February, the GBC officially announced that under the auspice and the guidance of His Holiness Shivaram Swami, there's going to be a committee to study Varnashram and to now give a direction in our society for that. So it's happening. If you study the GBC resolutions, it's on the site from 1975 to today, you see that whatever is happening in society, there's a reflex. 1992, there was a great summit of ecology in Rio de Janeiro, the world. And in 1994, the GBC passes a resolution, and Balabhadra Prabhu, His Grace Balabhadra Prabhu, becomes the Minister of Cow Protection. If you just analyze the GBC resolutions, you can see how it mirrors the evolutions of thought in our society. Today, as I travel, I see many devotees going back to the land, farming, having small farms. Actually, Govindananda Prabhu has done that. He's very close to you in Leicester, and he started an operation where there are cows, and he's supplying vegetables to the local market, organic vegetable. And this is a new trend which is bound to happen in the next 50 years of our institution. 50% unfulfilled, 50 years have passed, now we have 50 years to establish the other part. And this is a challenge on us, because we might be used to a system which works. And whenever you are sitting on a system which works, you don't want to change. It's working. But Prabhupada knew that the planet would go through transformations, and that he wanted us to be established seriously in the mode of goodness. And mode of goodness requires an economy on the mode of goodness. Because if your economy is in the world of passion, how will you do your sadhana? You won't. Your work will eat your sadhana time. It will not be possible for us to do that. So the mode of goodness is a hallmark which our society must reach as a society. There are many individuals established firmly in the mode of goodness, you can see. But as an institution, that's our next challenge. And to do so, every one of us must take into his heart to do so. Because here, the verse is saying that Krishna, he does not depend on this energy. He's the origin of it, actually. But we depend on energy. We have to take shelter. We can never be independent. Either we take shelter of the inferior energy, or we take shelter of the superior energy. But there's no way we can be in between, alone, independent. That's a dream of the jiva, which has been around for centuries, the independent mood. But we can't do so. We have to take shelter. And if we take shelter of the spiritual energy, then we'll be happy. And that's what Prabhupada is saying in this beautiful. And he's actually saying, if we take shelter of Krishna, then he says, he will become liberated from the influence of the modes and ignorance and passion, and thus all inauspicious things accumulated in the core of the heart will disappear. So Srila Prabhupada had this desire for all of us, that we went back with Krishna. We stayed with Krishna. And that's what this temple is all about. It's about going back to Godhead. So I think I found a sweet note. Going back to Godhead is a sweet note. So I think I'll end here, and I'll have little questions, corrections from the senior devotees.